You and I have all come to Christchurch tonight for a whole range of different reasons. I wonder what some of them might be. Maybe you like the band or the fellowship. Maybe you've made some good friends here. Maybe you're here for the student group or the youth work. Maybe you wanted to hear an inspirational sermon. Maybe you're on the T-rotor. Maybe you're lost and you're looking for the school. If so, it's just across the road. Again, many of us here probably have some kind of faith. But I wonder what our faith is in. Maybe it's in the power of the church to make the country a better place to live. Maybe it's in science. Maybe you're super spiritual, and it's in your past experiences of God's miraculous healing of Aunt Sally's toenail. Or maybe it's in the awesome promises of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners. Tonight, we are going to look at two different responses to the Lord Jesus Christ. So listen up as we open up the Bible to hear what God has to say to us through what has happened to other people in the past. Our first point tonight . The Samaritan's faith is true faith in Jesus' word. The Samaritan's faith is true faith in Jesus' word. Last week, we looked at Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well. He told her everything that she ever did, and we left the story with the woman returning to the town to tell the people that she had found the Messiah. In today's reading, we pick up the story in verse 39, which says, "Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did." Now, I want to draw your attention to the way that the Samaritans reacted to Jesus and recommend that we learn a lot from their example. First of all, Jesus speaks words to the Samaritan woman, and then she speaks words to the people in the town. And the result is that many believed in him because of the woman's testimony. The Samaritans came out of the town and made their way toward Jesus. And when they came to him, verse 40, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. It was because of his words that the people of Samaria believed in him. Verse 42. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Saviour of the world." This is true faith. The Samaritans have been waiting for the Messiah to come, and when they meet him, they exclaim, "This man really is the Saviour of the world." Now, about 4 years ago, I picked up a copy of the Bible and I began to read the New Testament. I wasn't a Christian at the time, but I soon realized that these words were something special. No one speaks like Jesus Christ. And to this day, I've not read a better description of the human condition. If I tried to read a book about Christian philosophy, or Christian answers to tough questions, it never would have had the same impact as hearing the authoritative voice of God in the scriptures. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And because I trusted in the words of the Bible, I met the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved me from sin, death, and hell. And for this reason, I can be here with you today. Let's contrast this Samaritan faith with the reaction that follows. 2. The Galilean faith is false faith in Jesus' signs. The Galilean faith is false faith in Jesus' signs. Now Jesus, remember, is on his way to Galilee. Verse 3. But he had to go through Samaria. So, after the 2 days, he left for Galilee. For Jesus himself had pointed out that prophets have no honour in their own country. Now, at first, it seems strange to us that Jesus would leave Samaria, a country where his ministry has been very successful, to go to his own country, Israel, where he has no honour. But it's not strange to Jesus. He presses on, knowing that he will be rejected, knowing that in the end, his ministry will get him killed, because this is why he came. To be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Verse 45. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. Okay. What does John mean when he says, a prophet has no honour in his own country, therefore they welcomed him? It doesn't make sense. So to understand this, we need to go back to chapter 2, if you turn back one page, to find out what happened. Chapter 2, verse 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them, because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. So the Jews here believe, but Jesus doesn't accept their kind of faith. Why? Because they are simply excited with the signs he's doing. Well, you might say, what's wrong with that? And I'll tell you what's wrong with that. We all know what a sign does. It points to something. And these ones point to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, and the Saviour of the world. How foolish we would be to get in the car, to go on holiday to the beach, but before we get there, we stop and have our holiday 50 miles away on the motorway because we confused the sign with the destination it points to. Now the Samaritans see Jesus' glory without any reference to signs and wonders. Their faith was based on his word. So the welcome Jesus receives in Galilee is ironic. It's a magician's welcome, and not the welcome of the Son of God. This is false faith, and the result is that Jesus does not entrust himself to them. Verse 48, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe. Do you see the contrast between the Samaritans' faith and the Galileans? The Samaritans believe Jesus because of his words. The Galileans are excited because a magician is in town. This is why we had the Old Testament reading from Exodus. The signs and wonders that Jesus refers to in verse 48 are exactly the kind of signs and wonders that God multiplied in Egypt against Pharaoh. The Galileans want Jesus to send a plague of gnats on the Romans. I tell you what, Jesus, you show me an Exodus-style sign and wonder, and then I'll believe in you. Me above God. I call the shots around here, you dance to my tune. That's sin. It's false faith. The faith is in the sign and not the Saviour. But notice how in Exodus, not even all the signs and wonders convinced Pharaoh to let Israel go, because his heart was hard. If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. Miracles, on their own, cannot produce genuine belief in the gospel. Gary Burge tells a true but sad story in his NIV application commentary on John. And Margaret's going to come and read this for us now. Margaret.
There was once a young woman who had become critically ill, and her doctors believed she would likely die within the year. Her family used to go to church twice a year, once at Christmas time and once at Easter, and the woman challenged her pastor. If Jesus healed in the Bible, he should be able to heal me today. If not, what use was he? So the pastor prayed, the woman prayed, and her whole family prayed. They said to God that if he showed mercy, they would come to church every Sunday. So God completely healed her, and the doctors were amazed. The next Sunday, the entire family was there on the front row, dressed in their Sunday best. The young woman gave her testimony and praised God for his goodness. The following Sunday, the family were there again. But after 4 weeks, it was only the woman and her husband. It wasn't long before the woman returned to once at Christmas time and once at Easter. The woman rationalized the entire incident. She had experienced the most dramatic sign that God could give her, complete healing, bathed in prayer and surrounded by the church. But after only 2 months, its power dimmed to nothing.
This young woman sought a miracle, but didn't seek Jesus who stood behind the miracle. Once she'd gotten what she wanted, she could dispense with God. True faith or false faith? Jesus wants this woman, the Galileans, Pharaoh, and us to know who he really is. The Samaritan interlude reminds us that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, sent by the Father to reap a crop for eternal life, the Saviour of the world. Meanwhile, Israel, the people of God, can't get past their fascination for miracles and politics. He came to his own, and his own received him not. We need to be careful that we don't fall into the same trap. given that a faith with too great an emphasis on signs and wonders is fundamentally flawed. What do you think Jesus would say to some of our more charismatic churches today? And I'm not pointing the finger. I've really struggled whilst preparing this talk to make sure that my faith is in the Saviour of the world and not in professionalism or commentaries or cube transition or my own ability to interpret the scriptures. It would be so easy right now to be proud and to think that by really smooth preaching, you can snatch people out of hell. But it's Jesus that saves. It's God's initiative, not mine. Both charismatics and conservatives alike need to check their faith on the way out and make sure they truly understand who Jesus is. The Son of God, Messiah, the Saviour of the world. 3. The official faith becomes true faith in Jesus' word. The official faith becomes true faith in Jesus' word. Verse 46. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. So Jesus turns up in Cana, the place where he did his first sign, and amongst all the excitement of the expectation of the sign seekers, there's a man who asks Jesus for a miraculous healing. No surprises there. Now this official desires a cure for his son and comes to Dr. Jesus out of a desperate need. But he doesn't recognize who Jesus is. All he knows is that Jesus can perform miracles, and that means hope for his little boy. He's like, fix my son's poor health, but not, I have sinned, forgive me, Lord. Verse 48. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. Now, the royal official is not interested in Christology or signs and wonders. He just wants his son to live. Verse 49. The royal official said, sir, come down before my little boy dies. Go, Jesus replied. Your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. Now this is new. Jesus speaks the word, the man believes the word and goes away. He doesn't beg Jesus to come and lay hands on him, and he doesn't say, but what if it hasn't worked? Don't you want to come and make sure? He demonstrates that unlike most other Galileans, he is not simply interested in signs and wonders. The result? Verse 51. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday at 1 PM, the fever left him. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. He and his whole household believed. True faith. When I first became a Christian, I used to listen to this preacher guy, and he would say, if you're praying for a healing and you don't get it, it's because you don't have enough faith. I don't believe that anymore. My faith isn't dependent on whether or not I see a sign or wonder. So if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, then permit me to share something with you that's important to me. I believe that I know Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Saviour of the world, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, because I trust in His Word. I believe in the Bible and the good news of the Gospel, that Jesus was crucified, He died, He was buried, but on the third day He rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And from there, He shall come again to judge the living and the dead. If you put your trust in this Jesus and His word of promise, then He will give you living water and you will never thirst. Indeed, the water Jesus gives you will become in you a spring of water welling up to eternal life. If you've never read one of the four gospel accounts of Jesus' life as an adult, and you would like to, then please speak to someone at the end of the service and we'll make sure that you get a copy. I've got 10 just here at the front of the stage. You can take them. You see, there are two kinds of people in this world. Those with the saving faith that honours the Lord, and those with a false faith that dishonours the Lord. The nature of our faith in Jesus Christ has eternal consequences. So it's very important that we clearly understand. True saving faith means taking Jesus at His word, just like the royal official did, just like the Samaritans did. It means believing John's witness in John's gospel, and indeed trusting the whole Bible. Now, I'm not saying that you'll never have doubts, and I'm not suggesting blind faith. It's good to ask questions about why we believe what we believe. It's good to wrestle with hard scriptures and to ask God to show you His nature more clearly. But we can't make up our own God by deleting all the scriptures that we don't like. How could we have any faith in that God at all? False faith in anything other than Jesus will let you down. It won't deliver. God has given us His word in the Bible, and it is trustworthy. So when you're confused, turn back to God, talk to Him in prayer, and open up His word. Having true faith recognizes and trusts God's word of promise, that when we turn away from rejecting God and turn back to Him, He will lead us to eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world. Thank You that He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. Thank You for the great news of the Gospel, that through the death of Your Son on the cross, You have made a way for our rejection of You to be punished, and Jesus' perfection to be credited to us. Thank You that You have reached down and rescued us from sin, death, and hell if we believe and trust in His word for our salvation. Lord, if there are people here tonight that want to know You, help them to meet with You through Your precious word. Our prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is that you might grant to us here at Christ Church Virginia Water eyes to see the true beauty and glory of the Lord, and give us power through Your Holy Spirit to trust His word and live for Him. all our days until you take your people home to be with you in paradise forever.